عبد الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. We commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Him Jalla wa Az to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. Alhamdulillah, we're here, we've all gathered to witness the officializing of a nikah. And inshallah, in the few minutes that I have with you all, I would like to share a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and expound on a beautiful sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is in the form of a dua. And this particular hadith has been narrated by Abu Huraira radiyallahu an. He is reported to have said, and the narration goes along the lines of these words, "Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam," that whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to congratulate somebody after that individual's marriage, after the individual's nikah, إِذَا رَفَأَ الْإِنسَانِ إِذَا تَزَوَّجْ, whenever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to congratulate someone when that individual got married, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, بَارَكَ اللَّهُ لَكْ وَبَارَكَ عَلَيْكُمَا وَجَمَعَ بَيْنَكُمَا فِي خَيْرٍ. A beautiful dua. I'm sure most of you are aware of this dua. But for today's talk, inshallah, we are going to expound this dua. We are going to break this dua and elaborate on it, inshallah. Barakallahu lak wa baraka alaykuma wa jama'a baynakuma fi khair. This narration has been recorded in the book of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, Imam Abu Dawud, Imam Tirmidhi, Imam Ibn Majah rahimahumullah. And it has been classed sahih by Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah as well. So, in regard to the direct translation of the dua, it can be translated as, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. May Allah azza wa jal bless you. Barakallahu lak. Wa baraka alaykuma. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you both. I.e. the two spouses. Wa jama'a baynakuma fi khair. And may He unite you both upon goodness. Wa jama'a baynakuma fi khair. Now the dua can be broken down into three parts. Barakallahu lak, where you directly make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regard to that individual. May Allah bless you. Like for example, inshallah, after the groom signs on the dotted line, after the aqd is read, inshallah, we will all be greeting the groom. Yes? Then it is upon us to read this dua. And when we read the dua, we look at the groom and we say, Barakallahu lak, may Allah bless you. We're directly making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should bless the groom. Barakallahu lak. Because it used to be from the customs of Jahiliyyah. The scholars like Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah and others who write the shuruhat, the commentary in regard to this particular hadith, they state that because Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, he states in that same hadith, إِذَا رَفَّأَ الْإِنسَانِ, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to congratulate an individual. Because it used to be from the customs of Jahiliyyah that they would congratulate one another by saying, Arrifa wal Banin, Arrifa wal Banin. This used to be from the customs of Jahiliyyah, where they used to say, perhaps you can translate that as congratulations and may you be blessed with sons. This used to be a phrase from Jahiliyyah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replaced that phrase with this beautiful dua. And now that this particular phrase has been replaced, then it is upon us, believers, the faithful, the ones who follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we stick to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because it has been clearly defined as what we need to do in this particular juncture, what needs to be said. We don't necessarily have to follow anything else, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us clearly that you should read this particular dua. Barakallahu lak wa baraka alaykuma wa jama'a baynakuma fi khair. And in regard to the phrase that was used during the days of Jahiliyyah, scholars, they write, I mean, it contradicts in many ways. Like say, for example, to say Ar-Rifa wal-Baneen, in the sense, congratulations and may you be blessed with sons. You're giving priority to sons here, because this used to be from the customs of Jahiliyyah. They despised and hated daughters. Whenever a daughter was born to an Arab in those days, ظَلَّ مُسْوَدَّ, his face would become black and darken out of sadness. They used to bury their daughters alive. This used to be from the days of ignorance, from the pagan Arabs. But then Islam came about with beautiful teachings. Islam came and illuminated the lands of Arabia with its beautiful teachings. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in and his ummah at large, you and I, what to do in such junctures. So we follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now getting back to the dua. Barakallahu lak. You make dua for the groom directly. May Allah bless you. And when you say barakallahu lak, you are intending all forms of goodness. May Allah bless you. May Allah protect you from evil. May Allah protect you from harm. It is a concise, short and beautiful dua that has a world in terms of its meaning. Such beautiful meanings in all encompassed in this one dua. Barakallahu lak, may Allah bless you. And then you're repeating it again, wa baraka alaykuma, and may Allah bless you both. But then if you were to analyze the Arabic text, you would find that there is a slight difference, because there's a different preposition being used here now. Barakallahu lak, wa baraka alayk. I hope you do understand the difference. There is this preposition that is being used, which is known as ala in the Arabic language. Ala, barakallahu alayk. Barakallahu lak wa baraka alaykuma. Ala, the preposition ala is being used. And scholars who write the shuruhat, they state that ala is being used here to give a meaning of encompassing, where the goodness encompasses the two spouses. Goodness in the sense, may Allah bless their marriage, may Allah protect their marriage from harm, may they be united forever, may they be blessed with beautiful, obedient children. All of these beautiful du'as are all incorporated within these two statements. Barakallahu lak wa baraka alaykuma. May they live in happiness, may they live with love, care and mercy towards one another. May their hearts be filled with love. Whatever goodness that you intend, it is incorporated in that dua. Barakallahu lak wa baraka alaykuma. And then you cap off the dua by saying, wa jama'a baynakuma fi khair. And may they be united upon goodness. Now this goodness is similar to the goodness that we make in the dua when we say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Now this used to be a dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read excessively, because this is another concise dua that has amazing meanings to it. You're asking for goodness in this world, goodness in the hereafter, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should save you from the fire of Jahannam. So when we say goodness in this world, what do we mean? Goodness in this world in the sense, a good job, good life, a comfortable house, a good spouse, good loving, obedient children, good family. All of that is incorporated when you say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. And when we say, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا, obviously, primarily the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the pinnacle. That is what we are all striving for. And then Jannah. If you have the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal, and Jannah, that is all you need. That is all you need in al-akhirah. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And second to that is Jannah, paradise. Because at the end of the day, when it comes to a comparison, obviously we give priority to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even over Jannah. Even over Jannah. We're striving for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even Jannah, even paradise comes after the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the concept of ikhlas. So coming back to the dua, وَجَمَعَ بَيْنَكُمَا فِي خَيْرٍ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite them upon goodness. And in this world, the pinnacle of goodness is that may they be united upon good deeds, upon acts that are pleasing unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that they secure the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. May they be united upon taqwa. The three ayat that we read during the khutbatul hajah all highlight one very important element, and that is taqwa. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida. Ya ayyuhal nasu taqoo rabbakum. Three ayat all highlighting taqwa. Because taqwa is so important. Taqwa needs to permeate into our lives. Taqwa needs to govern our lives. Taqwa, which is the fear and the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the base of taqwa is our heart. The base of taqwa is our hearts. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one particular narration, his reporter had said, "Attaqwa hahuna wa ashara ila sadrihi thalathan." Attaqwa hahuna, attaqwa hahuna, attaqwa hahuna. Taqwa is over here, taqwa is over here, taqwa is over here. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, "Ala wa inna fil jasadi mudghah." That know that in an individual's body, the narration goes along the lines of these words, there is a piece of flesh. إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. If that piece of flesh is upright, if that piece of flesh is good, if that piece of flesh is proper, then the whole body of that individual will be upright. It will be proper. And only goodness will radiate from that individual's body. But on the other hand, وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. If that piece of flesh goes bad, if that piece of flesh goes evil, if that piece of flesh becomes corrupt, then the whole body of that individual goes bad, goes rotten. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to state, "Ala wa hiya al-qalb." Know that it is the heart of an individual. It is the heart of an individual. Our hearts, we need to work on them. We need to work on purifying them. And in this dua, we make for the couple, barakallahu lak wa baraka alaykuma wa jama'a baynakuma fi khair. You're incorporating the fact that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite them upon two good hearts, pure hearts that love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what about our hearts? We need to work on our hearts. We need to work on our hearts. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, a famous scholar, he's known as the specialist of hearts because he talks and writes extensively in regard to the heart of an individual, in regard to the diseases of the heart of an individual. He is no cardiovascular specialist, but he is a specialist on the spiritual heart. And he talks about spiritual diseases, not cardiovascular diseases. He states that hearts are of three types: al-qalbu al-salim, al-qalbu al-marid, al-qalbu al-mayyit. The first heart, the pure and sound heart, a healthy heart, a heart free from diseases. Diseases in the sense, spiritual diseases like envy, hatred, anger, despising one another, judging one another, judgmental thoughts about others, pride, etc. We need to work on our hearts, we need to purify our hearts, because it is a pure heart that will help you on the day when your wealth will not benefit you, your children will not avail you. As Allah states in the Noble Quran, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day when your wealth will not benefit you, your children will not benefit you, what will benefit you? إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Except for the individual who comes with a قَلْب سَلِيم, in the sense a pure heart, a sound heart, a healthy heart, free from all defects, spiritual defects. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to purify our hearts. Al-qalbu al-salim. Number two, al-qalbu al-marid. The second category is known as a sick heart, a heart riddled with diseases, but there is hope. There is hope. That individual can work on his heart, can work on purifying his or her heart. As we have in another hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, when an individual commits a sin, what happens? A black dot forms on his heart. And each time he commits a sin, the dots keep increasing until his heart becomes like a dark overturned vessel. But on the other hand, if he makes tawbah, If he works on purifying his heart, he can polish his heart to shine and illuminate. So the second heart is Al-Qalb al-Marid. The final heart, Al-Qalb al-Mayyit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. A dead heart. A heart sealed up. A heart so hard that it cannot absorb goodness. It cannot absorb the words of our Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala. Goodness finds it so difficult to penetrate through, because that individual's heart is so hard. He's hard-hearted. Tears don't run when he hears the words of his Maker subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no effect whatsoever when the Quran is read. When the Quran is read, there's no effect on him, because he has drifted so far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah Azza wa Jalla states in the Noble Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not make tadabbur over the Quran? Or أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Or have they got locks on their hearts? So as you can see very clearly, making tadabbur over the Quran is closely connected to your heart. If you're finding it difficult to make tadabbur over the Quran, ponder and reflect over the Quran, then you need to work on your heart. You need to purify your heart. Because if your heart is healthy, if your heart is sound, then it becomes so easy for you to make tadabbur over the Quran, for you to ponder, reflect and contemplate on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he has written a book titled Madarij al-Salikin Bayna Manazil Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Madarij al-Salikin Bayna Manazil Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in. Three volumes, this thick, each volume, three volumes. And all three volumes are based on one single ayah. One single ayah, and this ayah is from the greatest surah in the Noble Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha. And the ayah is the ayah that comes towards the end of the title. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Like a diver who dives into the ocean, this imam, he goes in and he comes out with pearls, gems and jewels from Surah Al-Fatiha. When we talk about the tafsir of the Quran, we state that we are like gardeners. We are like gardeners. We go into the garden that has been beautifully landscaped by the scholars of the past, by As-Salafun As-Salih, by the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in, by our beloved Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We go in like gardeners and we bring out flowers, bouquets of flowers, roses from that beautiful garden, because everything has been landscaped so beautifully in that garden. And he writes in that book so extensively in regard to Iyaka Na'budu Wa Iyaka Nasta'in. And there is this one powerful quote he brings about. He states, إِذَا غُرِسَتْ شَجَرَةُ الْمَحَبَّةِ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَسُقِيَتْ بِمَاءِ الْإِخْلَاصِ وَمُتَابَعَةِ الْحَبِيبِ أَثْمَرَتْ أَنْوَاعَ الثِّمَارِ وَآتَتْ أُكُلَهَا كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا فَرْعُهَا أَصْلُهَا ثَابِتٌ فِي قَرَارِ الْقَلْبِ وَفَرْعُهَا مُتَّصِلٌ بِسِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى. A beautiful metaphor, an analogy, but profound indeed. He states that if the tree of love, إِذَا غُرِسَتْ شَجَرَةُ الْمَحَبَّةِ فِي الْقَلْبِ, if the tree of love is planted in your heart, what love are we talking about here? The love between Layla and Majnun? The love between Romeo and Juliet? No. We're talking about the pinnacle of love. To love the fountainhead of love. To love the creator of love. To love the source of love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To love him and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Because you have many shades of love. We're not talking about 50 shades of grey. We have many shades of love. And the pinnacle of them all is to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to love his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. If that tree is planted in your heart, and if it is watered with the pure waters of ikhlas, وَسُقِيَتْ بِمَاءِ الْإِخْلَاصِ, with the pure waters of sincerity. Because whatever you do, you're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are you entering this nikah, this bond of marriage? For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are you coming to the masjid? For the sake of Allah. Why are you fasting the month of Ramadan? For the sake of Allah. Scholars state that it is of utmost importance that we do not contaminate our intentions in any way whatsoever. Make sure that whatever you're doing it for the sake of Allah. Everything else comes afterwards. Everything else. You're doing it for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So wasuqiyat bima'il ikhlas, very swiftly. And if that tree is watered with the pure waters of ikhlas, and wamutaba'atil habib, and the following of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Because if you fail to follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, you cannot go anywhere down that path. You need the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam to guide you like a beacon. You need his teachings sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We need to follow his sunnah. أثمرت أنواع الثمار. If that tree is planted and if it is watered as such, it will start to blossom and it will start to bear fruit. Its roots will be firmly embedded in the heart of that individual, and the tree will grow so strong that its branches will reach Sidratul Muntaha, the utmost boundary where he sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam went during Isra and Mi'raj. A metaphor, an analogy, but a beautiful one, a profound one. If you plant that tree of love in your heart, no doubt you will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state where you will be happy with Allah azza wa jal, and no doubt He will be pleased with you inshaAllah ta'ala. Just as how the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, they pleased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhum. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, let us work on our hearts, and most importantly, let us work on following the authentic and true sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Because it is in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that you, my dear brother, will gain victory in this world as well as the hereafter. If you love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, prove your love by following him sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Let me mention one incident and I'll wrap off inshallah. This took place during the Battle of Badr. During the Battle of Badr. As you all know, the Battle of Badr was unlike any other battle. This was after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. 2 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, they were all in Medina. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam receives intel, valuable intel, that Abu Sufyan, who was at that time from the Kuffar, later on he embraced Islam radiyallahu an. At that time he was from the Kuffar. He was headed with a caravan with a lot of valuables, trading goods, camels, whatnot, from the lands of Sham towards Mecca. The caravan was worth an estimated net worth of almost 50,000 gold dinars. 50,000 gold dinars. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives the intel and he mobilizes the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Let us all go to Badr. Badr was halfway, almost about, in the Arabic measurements, about 28 farsakh from Medina. One farsakh is equivalent to about 3 to 4 miles. 3 to 4 miles, you can do the math inshallah. So at that time it was about half a day or 1 day's journey from Medina, basically, the valley of Badr. They decided to intercept the caravan there. Now you need to understand something here. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not a highway robber, as some people put it. He's not a hijacker. You need to understand context, you need to understand the background in regard to all of this. They were persecuted in Mecca. They were chased out of Mecca. Their wealth, their property was usurped by the kuffar, by the pagans of Mecca. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, let us go intercept the caravan and take that which has been usurped from us, our belongings. And this was the plan. So they set out very swiftly with a very small number of the Sahaba, 300 odd of them. Some scholars state 313, some 315, some 317. Anyway, 300 odd. And a few camels and 2 horses. This was all. As you can see, these are not arrangements to wage war. They had no plan at all to wage war. It was just merely to intercept the caravan and take that which belonged to them. And that was it. This news travels to Abu Sufyan. And Abu Sufyan, he was an intelligent individual. He immediately deployed an individual by the name Dhamdham al-Ghifari. Dhamdham. This individual, he had it within him. He was like a broadcasting system. He could make the whole of Mecca clamor to Badr if he wanted to. So that's why Abu Sufyan deployed him. Dhamdham rushes to Mecca. He rushes to Mecca. He stands on top of his animal. He tears away his clothes. And he cries out, Ya ma'shara Quraysh! Ya ma'shara Quraysh, al-latimah, 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 al-ghawth, al-ghawth. He cries out, O people of Quraysh, O people of Quraysh, Our caravan is being attacked. Our caravan is being attacked. We need help. We need help. At the head was Abu Jahl, who is also known as Fir'aun هذه الأمة, the Fir'aun of this ummah, the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mustered an army of 1,300 strong. 1,300 strong, and they had an infantry, a cavalry of almost 950 individuals. They mobilized themselves and they marched towards Badr. Abu Sufyan, in the meanwhile, he was intelligent. He made sure that he took a different route and got the caravan out of the way. There was basically no way to intercept the caravan now. The minute he did that, he sent news back again to Abu Jahl saying, look, initially the caravan was in danger, but now the caravan is safe. You can all head back. You can all head back. It's fine. Abu Jahl, an arrogant tyrant, he said, so what if the caravan is safe? We are bloodthirsty. Let our women sing songs. We are going to Badr. We are going to spend 3 nights there. We are going to eat. We are going to make merry. And we are going to wage war. And let the tribes of Arabia know of our astounding victory. He was arrogant. So he made his way to Badr. News travels to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now knew that war was going to be waged. He had only 300 odd sahaba. He immediately called for a council. All of the sahaba stood up. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we are with you wherever you go. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq first, Umar radiallahu an second, Miqdad ibn Amr radiallahu an third. They all stood up and offered their support. And then from the Ansar, Sa'd ibn Mu'ad, Siddiq al-Ansar, he stood up and said, Ya Rasulullah, we are also with you, Ya Rasulullah. All of them were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nonetheless, the point that I want to highlight, their loyalty, their love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The incident, a beautiful incident took place on the day of the battle. In the morning, it was 17th of Ramadan, according to certain historians. 17th of Ramadan, 2 years after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was a Friday. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had organized the army, had divided the army into flanks and given the leadership to certain individuals. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was personally making sure that the rows were all in alignment. Because this is something from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In salah as well as on the battlefield, that your rows need to be in alignment to show your unity, to show your solidarity. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making sure that the rows were all in alignment. As he was walking, he had a stick in his hand. And he was making sure that the rows were all in alignment. There was one sahabi, radiyallahu anhu, Sawad ibn Ghaziyah, radiyallahu anhu. He saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming with the stick, aligning the rows. He moved a bit forward and made sure that his chest and tummy was protruding. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he observed that. And he went by Sawad and tapped him lightly with the stick on his stomach and said, Ya Sawad, stow, stow, stay in alignment. In the sense, align your row, align your row. He tapped his chest and stomach with the stick. Sawad radiallahu an immediately seized the opportunity and said, Ya Rasulullah, you hurt me and I need to take retaliation. The sahaba who were around Sawad, they were infuriated, they were so angry. They were almost about to explode. You want to take retaliation from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him very calmly. And then he went on to say, Ya Rasulullah, you taught us of equity. You taught us of fairness. You taught us of justice. And I want to retaliate. So give me the opportunity to do so. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave the stick to Sawad. Go ahead, Sawad. You may retaliate. Sawad radiallahu anhu then said, Ya Rasulullah, you tapped me when I was bare-bodied. My chest and my stomach is currently exposed. So likewise, I want you to expose your body. The Sahaba could not believe their ears. They could not believe their ears. What's going on with Sawad? What's he doing? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very calmly lifted his upper garment. The minute he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that, Sawad radiallahu an threw the stick aside and he ran to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He hugged him and he started to kiss Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the chest and on his stomach. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking at this. He said, Ya Sawad, why did you do this? Why did you do this? And then he went on to say, Ya Rasulullah, I can see the enemy in front of me. and I wish for martyrdom. I want to die for the sake of Allah. And if I am to die, my last moments, I want them to be my skin touching your skin, Ya Rasulullah. This was the love of the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, likewise, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not alive amidst us now to prove our love for him. So we prove our love for him by following his sunnah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We learn about his sunnah because our religion is a knowledge-based religion. We have to seek knowledge. We have to. We learn about it. We can't be ignorant. We will definitely be held accountable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because today we live in an era where we have access to so much of information. So we have to no doubt seek knowledge, know what is correct, and follow it according to the teachings of the Quran and the authentic sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah azza wa jal help us all to do so. So inshallah ta'ala, you can all start off by reading the dua when you congratulate the groom inshallah. Barakallahu lak wa baraka alaykuma wa jama'a baynakuma fi khair. May Allah azza wa jal forgive all of our sins. May He accept our good deeds. May He bless the marriage that is about to take place in another few minutes. May He bless the two spouses. May He fill their hearts with pure love, care and mercy for one another. And may He Azza wa Jal bless our marriages as well. And may He bless us too with beautiful, obedient children who will be a coolness to our eyes. And may He, just as how He united us in this particular masjid, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen wa akhir da'wa. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Jazakumullah khair.